Welcome to the Smart Firefighting Podcast, part of a special edition series at FRI International in Dallas, Texas, with the TEEX product development team. In this series, we explore a range of innovative technologies that are changing the game at public safety. Stay on the lookout for upcoming events such as Defense to Response and the Under Fire events with TEEX. To stay in touch, please visit TEEXPDC.com or SmartFirefighting.com. We hope you enjoy listening.
Hello, everyone. Kevin Sofen here in the Smart Firefighting Podcast in the Innovation Corral here at FRI. Sitting down with Webb Marshall and Zach Braun. Zach is the CEO, founder of FireHUD, and Webb is an active firefighter of 15 years and also representative of the Firefighter Cancer Foundation. Webb and Zach, welcome to the podcast. How are we doing?
Doing really well.
Yeah, doing good. Thanks.
Yeah, glad to have you here. So the firefighter health and wellness issue is a huge problem. There's a lot of different aspects of going about how are we addressing this issue, how are we understanding firefighter overexertion. So Webb, if being an active firefighter yourself, if you could give the viewers some context about what are these issues that we have with firefighter overexertion and the overall health and wellness issues that we have. And then we'll dive into some of how the technology is providing a solution.
Well, the health and wealth and wellness issue is not a singular issue. So there's not one thing that we can do to fix this. There's multiple aspects that you have to look at. And all of it at the end of the day is your general health. So if we look at what the general public does to stay healthy, and you multiply that, you know, infinitely, the firefighters need to work towards that. The goals that we should have is to improve our overall health and wellness, to keep from being ill. We're obviously working to extinguish what we're doing with cancer. Problems with other illnesses that we can contract on the job. Just recently there was a medical line of duty death at a department next to where I work in Metro Atlanta. And it's very sad, and it's an awful state of affairs that those guys are dealing with. But finding ways to eliminate that, to reduce that, to stay ahead of that curve is absolutely where we need to go. The technology like the FireHUD, the technology that you see in this corral here, the work that we do with the Cancer Foundation, all is aimed at, you know, not just surviving the job, surviving retirement, spending time with your family and your children, your mother, your father, all the things that we want to be happy about in life. Just because we do a dangerous job doesn't mean it has to shorten our lifespan as well. So anything that we can do or anything we can participate in to improve your cardiac health, to improve your respiratory health, to improve your overall physical, mental, add any part of health and wellness you want to add into this, the better off we're going to be. In a much more stressful job, everything is there to be a detriment to us. We need to find ways to improve that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and any preventable death, there's no excuse. And I think now diving into more of the health and wellness issue of looking at this problem of overexertion. Give me some context on how are we trying to understand the overexertion of a firefighter. And then once we can understand the overexertion, what can we do as a fire incident command team to properly pull that firefighter out of the fire? Or what are we now doing? If we have this data now, what can we do with it?
Well, so overexertion to the general public is standard exertion to us. You know, as we've come to find with the technology, the FireHUD that Zach and the guys have given us, is that what normal people would see as overexertion is standard exertion for firefighters. Now, it's going to be a little different with your physical prowess, basically. But with what we're able to find, we're seeing much higher vital signs during physical activity, where they're asking questions, should these be this high? Well, we've never captured data on a regular basis doing the job. All we've seen is rehab during, our downtime. And obviously they're starting to drop there. And if we say, well, your rehabs, your vital signs should be about this when you're doing rehabilitation, decon, all the stuff that's after the fire. During the fire, what are the spikes? What are the dangers that we're seeing? The heart study that just came out recently, some of the other health and wellness studies that are coming out from medical universities and medical research, that kind of information, we need to see that the trend is higher. We say overexertion. Well, to the average person that's not a firefighter, it's absolutely overexertion. for us, we're going to do this for 20, 25 years, and it's normal. It's normal to see skyrocketing pulse ranges. It's normal to see major spikes in blood pressure. It's normal to see cardiovascular demise later on in life because we have beat ourselves down. It's normal to see spikes when your adrenaline rushes as soon as you get the tones ring out for fire. All these things are going to put major stress on the body, major stress on the mind, major stress on all the internal organs. And, you know, the exertion that we see, if we can track it and tailor what we do to better that, you know, are we doing the right thing? So we work out all the time. That's great. But are we doing the right workouts? Are we tailoring everything else around the exercise and physiological work that we're doing to make the other parts of our wellness programs better? You know, that firefighters are known to eat. We have the best cooks in the world. But are we doing the right things to stay ahead of this? Is that something else? Is it another cog in the wheel? You know, it's not, we don't have a singular fix for this, like I said before. So all of these exertion levels, you know, if you want to say for the incident commander, at the fire station, I can see and I can track it. Everybody's got these things nowadays. The technology that they've developed at FireHUD is heads and tails above what I can buy as a general public. But when you get to the incident command scene, there is a little bit of the market that's trying to come from the SCBA world about tracking and seeing where they are as far as their air status. It can see breathing rates, but we can't see what else is going on. Why did the guy collapse in the house fire? Why did the guy collapse 5 minutes after he came out of a structure fire? Why do we have people having sudden cardiac arrest when they don't have a history?
Yeah.
These are things we have to track and find. We can do that with this type of technology.
So with now diving into the technology and how it's working, give me some context on now, how is this, what is this wearable device? How is it monitoring these different physiological parameters of the firefighter? And then how is that information being sent to a platform this platform I'm looking at? So walk me through the technology and then how it's actually working.
Yeah. So what we have basically are these wrist devices. They can mount a little bit high on your forearm. And so what they're doing is they use PPG is the technology. And so that's similar to pulse oximeter. And so basically it has LEDs that shine and can see your blood. And from there, we can glean information based off of the dynamic flow of your blood. And so from there, we're getting the heart rate and we can estimate your core body temperature. How exerted are you at that moment in time? The calories burned and the miles traveled. And so from there, we have a local radio technology, which is proprietary, and it works about half mile in urban settings, and then about 2 to 3 miles, you know, outside in a rural area. And so from there, it beams it up to a cell phone, and once it's in our servers, we can deliver you real-time personalized data. So additionally, after wearing the device for about a day, we can get your baseline heart rate and baseline core temp. So like what Webb was saying, we're starting to tune the exertion parameters to the individual person.
Gotcha. So you wear it for 24 hours, you get these baselines, and then now I'm looking at this platform here, that exertion rate by understanding whether you're at 0% or 100%, mm-hmm. that's based on your height, weight, size, and then yep. your baseline. So it's really custom for each person.
Exactly, yeah. It's very custom, just like you were saying off of there, you know, personalized things, height, age, gender, weight. Amount of years in the fire service is another big parameter being fed into there.
Interesting. So then now they're looking at this platform. Is this something that a fire incident commander can have this as a means of information on their tablet to understand what the firefighter is going through and then based on that make a decision on to pull a firefighter out? Or, you know, is this something that is used more real time during the situation mm-hmm. or after the situation or a little bit of both?
Yeah, so I would say it's both. And so basically you can view it on any web browser, so phone, iPad, tablet. And so you can look at it in real time. You can have your health and safety officer looking at it. You can have an incident commander. You know, your chief could look at it from his office, for example, and he could view it in real time. And then also you could have your rehab personnel looking at it. And after the fire, you also can go back and look at the data, see where the weak point is in the firefighter's training regimen, for example. You can see which firefighters perhaps more exerted than he should be.
Gotcha. And just to further walk people through how this is actually working, I see there's the wrist device, and I mentioned the platform, but there is this radio receiver gateway in between that's receiving the data and then spitting it out, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. And so those would be mounted in a training, you know, room or on a fire truck, for example.
And then what's the distance range that we're working with there?
So it's half mile in the building, and then it's 2 to 3 miles outside.
Okay. Great. And Webb, then you had mentioned there's no one silver bullet to this whole health and wellness firefighter exertion issue, from whether it's the better cleaning PPE gear to better diet to better understanding our physiological state. Give me some more context in terms of, you know, I see you have the blast mask here. What else is the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, are you involved with in regards to further this discussion around how can we improve this whole umbrella of health and wellness discussion issues?
Well, one of the big things we're doing right now, we started it this month, this last month, and it is a research study aimed at gathering the physiological and biometric responses to basically different stress level events. So we say low stress, medium stress, high stress. Low stress being entrance type activities or station type activities. Medium stress being training academy activities, things where you know what's going on. You know, we already have an idea about what we're getting ready to do, repetitious type events. And then high stress events that are as close to the emergency as we can reproduce, basically. And we're using the blast mask, we're using the fire HUD to be able to simulate and build these events. So when we say we need to better a certain area of our performance, well, how can we do that? Well, let's use this type of technology. Let's use a training device like the blast mask, which is basically an SCBA trainer that without having to use the SCBA. So people that are restricted because of whatever the reason be, do they not have an air compressor? Do they have other constraints on their system that they can't always do that? We're trying to find better solutions. Also, we're trying to influence people to not just train in street clothes, not just train in PT gear, better themselves whole round. So we're working with our bunker gear in the situations that are going to cause us the most physiological stress. They're going to cause us the hardest hit to our, you know, to our biology. And then if we can start affecting that culture and building better solutions, you know, that's one part of it. We would like to provide better health and wellness opportunities, better mental health opportunities. You know, with the foundation, we try to reach into all the different aspects, up to and including how you build your fire trucks, how you design your fire stations, the type of furniture, you know, everything down to the type of furniture in your fire stations. What are you using to clean? All these things are going to have an effect on what you're doing to be healthy in the fire service. You know, we go into a career that's going to be difficult for us for 20, 30, you know, some are 35, 40 years. What has that done to us? Compare that to the regular person. We are much more apt to have an occupational illness than they ever will. All the terrible things that happen to the general public, we're exponentially have an exponentially higher risk. So by using devices like the blast mask, by helping vet and test the devices like the fire HUD, we're having those solutions. We're able to vet and clear those solutions and then turn them over to the end users, the firefighters. I'm an end user myself. This is sort of a selfish prophecy I'm building, because I want to make sure that I'm better shape, that I'm going to be able to survive my family, that my brothers and sisters that I work with at the fire station, my dad's a fireman for him too, my brother's a fireman for him too, and everyone else in this room. The end game is to help those people. I've been given a lot of opportunities to be able to work with people like the guys at FireHUD, to be able to speak on platforms like this, and I want to be able to pass this on to the next people and let them know, because a lot of people have never heard of this. They need to, for the betterment of themselves. If we can influence and better that one person, I'm winning. If I can better 500 people, we're all winning. And we keep the numbers going. The more contact we have with people, the more that we can pass on that we need to eat better, that we need to exercise better, that we need to design our stations better, our gear better, accept technology into our work, where this used to be a blue collar job, this is the white collar side. We need to mesh those two very well and use it for everybody's betterment.
Well, it takes thought leaders like yourself, Webb, to really continue to push the envelope here, because obviously we can't keep going on with the status quo with some of the ways we've been operating. And as I'd mentioned before, there's no excuse for preventable deaths. And even though it's a dangerous profession, it doesn't mean that firefighters should have any higher risk of being able to not live a long life with their family. And so it's really inspiring to hear your side of it in terms of understanding how we're applying the technology, and then smart individuals like yourself who are really pushing the envelope on technology. So thank you both for your continued commitment to innovation here. And Webb, what one last thing?
I wanted to add one last thing. I mentioned the line of duty death that happened a few days ago in DeKalb County, Georgia. A firefighter is at work. The firefighter passed away, unfortunately, after a run in his bunk at the fire station, and nobody knew. With this technology, somebody could have known. If it goes down where there's a critical event, it can tell people. This technology, you can't go back and say that it could have saved a life, but it at least could have let somebody know that he wasn't by himself.
Couldn't agree more. And that's why it's important to get this word out and communicate how important this technology is, because that type of death, and at least the knowledge and awareness of it, is something that needs to be heard. And I hope that this conversation and the important work that you do will continue to save that next life, because then it's all worth it. And I know we're capable of doing that. Just to close out here, if people want to learn more about the foundation or FireHUD, what websites or how could they get in contact with you?
For the Firefighter Cancer Foundation, it's www.ffcancer.org.
For FireHUD, it's www.firehud.co.
Right on. Well, Webb and Zach, it's been an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate it, and look forward to more discussion in this important topic moving forward.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Kevin.